calling the Tri-City TipsNet. Calling the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the city of Groton. I will be your net control station for this evening, and membership in the Tri-City Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.06 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary repeater is the Groton repeater at 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators, and encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TipsNet is a directed open net. That means we call for a round of check-ins, and when everyone is checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have questions for the net. We will ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TipsNet. The first is the open net with rounds of questions and comments. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all the communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," release the mic button, and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time. Then, press the mic button and slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a question or comment. Please let me know when you're checking in. Let me reset the repeater again. Again, this is Tim, KC1TWR, or Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, your net control station for this evening. As we start taking check-ins, please remember to talk slowly so that I can understand. Please come with your call signs now.
Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. No items for the net at this particular time.
This is. Kilo Bravo 1, Romeo Alpha Yankee, Mark in Groton. I do have one question for the net.
Okay, I have an exploding pen, hence my pause here. I grabbed another one. Net recognizes KA6PDG Kevin and Mark KB1RAY with a question. Further check-ins, please call now. recognizes Andy, N1XCR. Further check-ins, please call now. Okay. Well, we do have a question on the floor, so Mark, I will turn the microphone over to you and present us with your question. KB1RAY, this is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. Well, it's not very exciting and it's not very technical, but I was just kind of curious. I do know Raytheon has the 900 megahertz repeater. I'm wondering if anyone else is into any of the 900 megahertz stuff. I have a Motorola GTX, and I've been able to get into the repeater once or twice. So I'm just kind of curious what's out there. KB1RAY, back to next control.
Okay, for myself, I can say I don't believe I have any equipment that can get into it, and I haven't been into it, but we'll put the question to the floor. Anyone have a comment or answer for Mark, please call now. Okay, well, it looks like you've stumped us on that one, and for that, you get a silver star. We will have to, that would be a great subject to bring up tomorrow evening at the picnic, in an ad hoc kind of way, because it's just a picnic, it's not a meeting, but there will be other people there from Raytheon who may have a better knowledge of what they're doing with the 900 megahertz repeater there, and see how it goes. I'll put it back to you, Mark, briefly, just to make sure that if you had any follow-up on that. KB1RAY, this is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY, not too much additional. It's just one of the radios I have here on the desk. It's plugged in and operable. 900 being a little bit difficult to operate from down here in Groton all the way up to Norwich, but I've got a Yagi, and I know it's at least getting to the repeater, because I can put my call sign out there and I can hear the repeater respond, but I have no idea how good I sound, which I probably don't sound very good. Yeah, it just kind of came to me as a question because kind of moving things around on the desk, and was just curious, like I said, what's out there and what's going on. So, with that, KB1RAY, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Mark. And yeah, it does raise the question, and hopefully between now and next week, we'll see if we can find an answer, or you'll find an answer. Either way, I'm sure an answer will be found. And I think that's the only question that was on the floor, so I think we'll go for a round of comments. And first one on the list is Kevin, KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Hi, good evening, Tim and Lynette. Hopefully we'll get some more check-ins. That would be nice, the more the merrier. Not too much going on here. I think Mark asked a really good question. And I think it was a couple of years ago, Mark, you and I had chit-chatted a little bit about the 900 meg stuff. I don't have any experience with it. I don't have any equipment that transmits up there. It would be kind of cool to see if anybody's actually using that repeater that Raytheon has. And the other thing I think that Mark and I may have chatted about a long time ago, and I haven't delved into any further, is I up on the 900 meg band somewhere, and I don't remember where, whether it's 928 or 902 or 904 or something, there is or certainly used to be an unlicensed band, like a CB or a Class D type band. And at least when I remember initially reading about it and hearing about it, let me reset. When I first started considering that, at that time they were allowed to have repeaters. I mean, I think there was a power limit and all that, but they were allowed to have repeaters on that band as well. So I guess if I were to add anything to Mark's question, my own curiosity would be if anybody has ever used the unlicensed service on that band, and how does it perform, and do they still use repeaters, or are they allowed to, or did that get changed? Other than that, just sit back and listen. Everything seems to be working well on the audio side here. So we'll send it back to you, Tim, KA6PDG.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And that is a good question. I do know that the FCC has been selling off some of the 800 megahertz frequencies to cell phone providers and what have you. And I try to remember if they were dipping down into the 600s now. But I have not heard anything about the 900. And I certainly was unaware that there may have been a section of that was unlicensed. That would be interesting. In the back of my mind, I always thought all frequencers were licensed in one form or another. But obviously, I could be mistaken. Wouldn't be the first, second, or third time today. Okay, for general comments, we'll go ahead and go to Mark, KB1RAY. This is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. Of course, I do have additional comments now. let's see, I didn't write my notes down, but let's try it anyways. As far as the unlicensed stuff, I don't know if anyone on frequency remembers the old Nextel phones. They actually had a feature where you could do local phone-to-phone, I guess they call it chirping and whatever, walkie-talkie essentially. And that, I found out, interestingly enough, used the 900 megahertz license free band. And it was actually very interesting because it was digital, it was 900 megahertz, and it was actually frequency hopping spread spectrum. Let me reset on that one. So this was primarily a Motorola thing. Some of the older Boost phones had the option available if you paid them an extra, you know, fee or something like that, they would enable it for you. But you could actually take the old Nextel, certain models, not all the models, and go into a walkie-talkie mode even if it's not on the network. So even once the number's been moved off it, as long as it had a valid SIM, it could use the offline walkie-talkie mode. And I do know this from personal experience because I have a few. Motorola actually made some radios that use the same type of technology, different algorithm, I guess. But they did make the Motorola DTR series, which is a more of a radio-looking thing. Let me reset one more time. And I know there was another half to that question. Trying to remember it. Maybe you can give me a hint. There was the 900 thing and something else we were talking about. I guess I'll send it back to Net Control for now. KB1RAY.
Well, thank you, Mark. That is quite a bit of interesting information. The only other thing I can think of is Kevin also mentioned the fact that there might have been repeaters on that frequency. So I don't know if that may have been what you were talking about or not. But that'll come around next time. So we're at the bottom, almost at the bottom of the list. Next person to see if you have any comments for this evening is Andy, N1XCR. This is KC1TWR.
Okay. Good evening to everybody on the net. Hope your day went well. And I guess my question to Mark is, what kind of radio are you using? I've never worked 900 megahertz. That's getting pretty high. That's pretty high in frequency here. Yep. But I know there's a whole slew. I know there's a lot of Motorola commercial gear. I don't know if you run ICOM, but I know there's a slew of Chinese stuff coming on the market that hits a lot of different frequencies if you walk on it cheap. If it was, you know, really reasonable, I'd buy one and play with it. But that was my question is, you know, what avenue do you, do you get there? Is it something you found on Amazon or eBay, or is it, is it like ICOM where, you tie it up a few $100s? That's kind of, you've gone to $200 rig that you might find just a couple people. I don't even know if you could buy an ICOM, something in that thing for a couple $100. You'd be all up. You know what that would turn into. That's my question. Keep it short and sweet. Back to Tim, Net Control, KC1, TWR, N1XCR in the group. Yeah.
Okay, I believe he said that it was a Motorola, but actually before we continue, let me do another quick call out. This is Tim, Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Looking for any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, I'm going to pass you back to Mark for just a moment, or ask Mark's comment to answer your question about what kind of radio. But before I do that, just a reminder that the Tri-City and Raycon each have an auction that takes place at the Gales Ferry Firehouse, next one being the last Saturday in October. And very frequently at those kinds of auctions, you'll find oddball equipment, and sometimes it is commercial walkie-talkies and things of that nature. So it's always a good thing to go scout them out to try and pick up something at a reasonable price. But in the meantime, Mark, KB1RAY, would you mind answering Andy's question about what kind of radio you're using for this 900 megahertz? This is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. Well, the radio I have here is the Motorola GTX Golf Tango X-Ray. I believe it is originally a 900 megahertz LTR radio. It is a commercial radio, but you can program in conventional frequencies into it. I even have a simplex frequency plugged into it, even though I know it's not going to do too much. All you have to do is get the, just like any other radio, get the right frequencies plugged in there with the right tone, and it should work. There's a lot of information about these radios up on the internet. A lot of people have been using the commercial stuff for 900 megahertz on the ham side of it. The one I got on an auction. I don't even remember how much it was. I just got it to play with it. I got a bunch of radios like that, and someday I'm going to go through them and decide which ones I'm going to keep and which ones I'm going to sell. Maybe this coming auction is a good time to do that. hopefully that answers everything. KB1RAY, back to Net Control.
Thank you, Mark. Andy, N1XCR, did that answer your question?
Yeah, certainly. I don't know. You never know. There's always things floating in the market. The technology changes on a daily basis. Well, yeah, so that's good. Back to you, Tim.
Okay. Good information. That's a frequency that I have not played with and probably don't have any plans to play with in the near future, but you can never tell what's going to happen in the amateur radio world, that's for sure. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list, so we'll go back up to the top. Kevin, you have not had a chance to talk in a little bit with the other conversation going on, so here is your chance. KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
That's okay, Jim. I've been enjoying listening and learning. Yeah, sometimes even I shut up and listen. It's rare, but let's see. What do I have here? Well, you were handing out silver stars before, so I was going to say that the net should give you one for having that microphone cord so long that you can toss it over to Mark's house and he can use your microphone. I think that's pretty cool. I was going to ask Mark if he'd he was talking about the Nextel 7, I guess it doesn't matter whether it's the Nextel or his GTX Motorola. I was curious how much distance he was getting. Imagine the Nextels would be like 100 milliwatt in the walkie-talkie mode, and my guess would be it's very line of sight, but, you know, maybe a few hundred yards, something like that. So if you'd done any experimenting with distance, I imagine his Motorola radio might be higher power than that. And the only other thing this makes me think of that maybe cause for a little conversation on the net, since it's we don't have too many stations thus far, and hopefully more will check in, but I am thinking about getting, and this is where I reset, so everybody's in suspense for a few seconds. Alright, I kept you waiting long enough. I am thinking about getting a simplex repeater to experiment with. I don't know what I'm going to get, and I don't know what the price is. It's probably going to be a Chinese knockoff type thing, so it shouldn't be too expensive. I was talking to a ham up in Mansfield, Connecticut a few days ago, and he's kind of connected with this stuff. And I have utilized simplex repeaters a couple of times. Mainly I'm thinking about in Oregon where we had, I say we, one of the radio clubs had one on top of a hilltop. And it was good for communicating into very remote areas. As you all know, Oregon has a lot of woods and a lot of remote areas where there aren't any repeaters. And it did provide a purpose. It's not really something you use for rag chewing. There are a number of little procedural things that operators, users have to get used to and be very careful about, because basically the type of simplex repeater I'm talking about is also known as an echo box. Let me reset again. So it picks up your transmission. Let's say, for example, I key up and I say on the simplex frequency, this is KA6PDG, is anybody around this afternoon? And I unkey. The transmitter will come back to me and repeat what I just said and repeat it out to the rest of the world, obviously. And then when a station over in East Jabrew says, yes, this is Echo Juliet Bravo 9 Alpha in East Jabrew, then he unkeys, it repeats what he said, and then I hear what he said, the assumption being he's way out in the boonies and I'm not going to hear him direct. That's where the user functionality of it comes into play, because sometimes you do hear the person direct. Maybe you've got several people in a group communicating for whatever reason, and one or two of the stations you're able to hear direct, and the other ones you can't. Now, let's say that one of the stations that you can hear direct asks you a question. Hey, Kevin, what are your weather conditions over there? And he in the Keys. And the repeater repeats what he says, but I heard him direct, so my instinct is to pick up the mic and key up on top of the repeater, unintentionally, and answer him. And then that starts to cause all sorts of heterodyne and logistical problems. So they're tricky to use. They're not for rag chew. But I think that having a small one hooked up to a battery and a portable antenna of some type that could be potentially set up in a, be it an emergency or a temporary situation, I find myself thinking maybe Aries units should have some of these. I suppose they're more needed like way out in a place like Oregon, but even around here, you run into some real holes. Up in Windham County, there's a lot of places where it's hard to get into any repeater because you got trees and rocks and ledges all around you. So that's something I've been thinking about toying with. Not that anybody asked, but Mark's subject made me think of it. KA6PDG, back to net.
Thank you, Kevin. And let's see, out of all of that, I do remember that you had a question basically for Mark about what kind of distance he was getting, and I was going to ask if he had to buy a special cable to program his Motorola, or if he could do it right through the front. And an interesting question about the repeaters. When you said a simplex repeater, my first thought was two, for instance, HTs hooked up with a cable with VOX from one to the other. So one's just a receive HT, the other one is a transmit HT. So when anybody who talks, it would be received on the receive HT, and the speaker would have a wire that goes to the input on the second HT for VOX that says when you hear something, transmit. And that would be another way of doing a repeater, but you'd still need two frequencies. But yeah, having that delay in there, everybody has to understand it, or I can see it getting kind of mucked up. Let me reset. For those who are new who may be listening, one of the reasons why we reset is that the repeater, most repeaters are set up with a timing element where if you get somebody who just talks way longer than they should or falls asleep while they're talking with their hand on the mic, it will disconnect them and tell you that you've been disconnected after a certain period of time. So that's one of the reasons why we let the repeater get reset. Okay, I think at this point we'll go to Mark, and maybe we can answer the question about the whether you've been able to determine the power on your 900 megahertz radios, and any comments about Kevin's diatribe about the simplex repeater. KB1RAY, this is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. Well, I got a couple of notes written down here. I remembered my additional comment from earlier. It was actually for you. More of a joke than anything. I use a pencil when writing things down normally when I'm doing the net control stuff instead of a pen, because I've had that happen as well. You know, I'll be using the pen that I've used, you know, every day. It works just fine. And I go to write something down that someone's speedily talking about, or you know, rattling off a call sign or something like that, and it won't work. So, let's see. The next item here. I like how Kevin timed his pause there with the repeater ID or the Morse code ID. As far as distance goes, yeah, the Nextels and the even the DTR radios, they don't have a great distance. They're kind of similar to the amount of distance you would get with like a FRS radio. It's just, you know, up a couple of bands and a lot less interference prone. I know I've gotten half a mile easily before. Let's see, let me reset for the rest of this. As far as the simplex repeater, I have thought about it. I've never actually looked into it, but it is something very interesting. I hope Kevin brings us more information on it, and maybe at some point we'll get to try it out over here. And let's see, programming. I bought the Chinese knockoff programming cable for it, and that seems to work just fine. It's Motorola, so it's not not very easy to do, but it can be done. And the Vox repeater, I saw something online similar to that, where a guy had set up, I guess, an APRS device, similar situation where, you know, kind of plugged it into the VOX, or to the input and turned on VOX, and wanted to try and track it as it moved around. And there was a lot of comments on it about, you know, regulations and him not having control over it, and you know, tying up the APRS frequency and all sorts of interesting stuff. So definitely be careful if you enable VOX. With that, AB1 RAY back to net control.
Oh, thank you, Mark. You answered a couple of questions there, and good comments. We're at the bottom of the hour, so I'd like to do another call out. This is KC1TWR with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, everybody must be out playing badminton or something. Okay, so, Andy, you've been hearing a lot of discussion about repeaters and 900 megahertz and everything else, and you may have something you wish to talk about, but you're next on the list, so as Kevin said, I'll hand the mic to you with my long extension cord and our extension cable, and N1XER, this is KC1TWR.
Quiet out here tonight. First day, ain't rain. First dry day we had in a while, you know. Well, the weather's been, she's been so hot, you're sizzling, or, you know, raining. People are probably going to their lawns and trying to get some odds in it. So just, the future forecast looks like next Monday everything should start to go the other way. I do notice the days getting shorter. But, yeah, what are you going to do? Let's see, so speaking of the weather, I don't know if anybody, over the weekend, we're supposed to have a big meteor shower. I think they call it the Perseids. It was supposed to be Sunday, it's a Monday night. I didn't turn on any 6 meter activity, but doing 6 to 2 meters, usually you get some pretty good activity there. I meant to, but I didn't get to do it. I don't know if anybody there has tried it at all, but that was another question. That's about it. Getting ready to wind it on down here and do some house chores and get some dinner and, I don't know, get some shut-eye. It'll be, 5 o'clock comes real quick around here. But, let's see. It's, nothing new here. I made a couple brackets for that screwdriver antenna. I made a shunt coil last night. That's about it. I made some nice bus bar stuff. I took half-inch copper tubing, put it in a 50-ton press, flattened it out. It makes 1 inch wide, roughly 45 thousandths wall thickness strap. So pretty simple, easy homemade copper strap. You'll do any type of strap for your antenna project. So with that, we're going to send it back to Tim, KC1TWR, Nick Control, N1XCR.
Well, thank you, Andy. And the 50-ton press, eh? Yeah, I bet the copper, that made quite an impression on the copper. But it was good. I'm very grateful that you gave us an update on your screwdriver antenna there. I totally forgot that you had mentioned last week that you picked one up. And sounds like you're making some good progress with that. It'd be interesting once you get it fully installed and operational and see what kind of contacts you make. And I'm also curious, I know people use Meteor Scatter for doing transmissions, but I've never, just dawned on me to question how long of a time do you get to actually talk or transmit, because I know with a satellite, it is just, you know, a couple of minutes where it crosses the path and then it's gone. But we'll see how that goes. And a good comment about mowing lawns. That's probably where everybody is, because it is the first kind of dry day. And it's after the sun's fairly low in the sky, so they get a chance to get out there and get the grass cut without being out in the noonday sun. Okay, we're at the top of the list again. And actually, before we do that, I'll do a quick call out so that hopefully this time we can get through all three. Any further check-ins with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club tips net, please call now. Okay, Kevin, with all the other discussion that's been going on, and you heard my thoughts about repeaters and so forth, what have you to say? K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
All right, well, first of all, so don't forget, even though I wrote it down, Mark makes a good reminder there, you do have to have control. And that is something the FCC insists on, as they should. Fortunately, I think you can still get some pretty cheap old basic controllers. It's really, as long as you're able to turn it off and on. And now I'd have to brush up on my legality here. I'm not sure, can you do that on 2 meters, or do you have to do it 220 and above? Anyway, yeah, the control idea is something you need to keep in mind. And for Andy on the Perseids, yes, it peaked Sunday and Monday, but it's still going on for a few weeks, so there's still plenty of opportunity to see shooting stars if there's no clouds, or to try your sporadic E stuff. I never have done that, in answer to your question, Tim. But I think that the time window is very short, maybe a few seconds, enough to exchange call signs. I suppose it depends, because you could have two or three meteors come into the atmosphere at once. That'd be fun to do. Let me reset. Yes, with what you're talking about with two cables between a couple of HTs or a scanner is a receiver and an HT is a transmitter. Yeah, that's just called a repeater. That's just a repeater. And I have done that, actually, because it's pretty easy to do with ICOM handhelds. And there used to be a little device you could buy, I think it was about $50. And all the circuitry, which was pretty simple, was in a little film can. If you remember what film was for your camera, it would be in a little film can with I think four cables coming out of it, because you had one for your, that went into the ICOM transceiver. One was the control cable that activated the box, the push to talk, and the other was the audio. And then you had one or two cables coming out of the other end, depending on whether you were going to use another ICOM radio or just a scanner. If you were just going to use a scanner, for example, you only needed one of those cables. But I actually had, back in Oregon, I did some experimenting with that. And it does work, but you have a lot of issues you got to think about. It's not a lot of power, obviously, if you're transmitting with an HT. And so you really need to be high up. Then you're not using, typically, you're not using duplexers or diplexers or anything. So 600 kilohertz split, like a standard repeater offset, you probably want to look at something over a megahertz, do an odd split. And then you have to ask, okay, is that going to be usable for other people? Again, these are just set up as, like, for emergency use on top of a hill or for temporary use at an event, like a bike race or something, where you don't have use of a real repeater up on a mountain or something. But it does work. I've done it. With the ICOM radios, it's very easy. So I think those are my only quasi-intelligent thoughts. KA6PDG, back to net.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I don't know if it's the repeater or if it's your something on your side, but you were full signal, but then it would quickly drop. We'd hear the repeater do its little roger beep, as it were, and then whoop, you'd be back again. So I'm not sure if that's you or the repeater that's causing that kind of a problem. And true, I was thinking of two HTs probably in a weather balloon put up to get some height in order to provide limited area coverage. But then that again raises the question about would a person have ultimate control at that point if it's up, you know, 100 feet or 200 feet on a weather balloon. And with that, I think we'll go to the next person on the list to get their comments on all of this. Mark, KB1RAY, KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. Well, I don't really have any additional comments on this. I guess I got nothing written down here. I'll just reiterate what I did say before, that you know, if Kevin does get it up and operational, it would be something fun to check out. With that, I don't think there were any questions that I had to answer, so I'll say KB1RAY back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Mark. And sounds like we may be starting to wrap up a little bit here. And Andy, as far as tomorrow goes, I will give you a call shortly. I'm going to get a hold of Chuck to ask him if somebody's going to be around the firehouse in the early afternoon and can accept the cooler. And then I will give you a call, hopefully before it gets too dark out. Depends on if I can get a hold of Chuck. And if not, maybe I'll just drive up and pick up the cooler, and that way we'll be done with that. But, yeah, please keep us abreast on how you make out with that screwdriver antenna, because I am curious to hear how that works and how things work out for you. So, if you want, you can make this your goodbye round, because I think we're starting to wrap up. N1XCR, this is KC1TWR.
Okay, Jim. Yeah, sounds like I heard seagulls in the last transmission there, which is you ran out of water, which is not a bad place to be. So maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I thought I heard seagulls. But anyways, yeah, sounds good. We'll work it out. Ain't no big deal. And it was a good time here. A lot of questions, a little bit of learning, a lot of stuff. So always fun. And with that, we're just going to call it, I'm going to call it a night here and send it back to you, net control, N1XCR, QRT, 73, everybody. Have a good night.
73, Andy, thank you for joining again. Always a pleasure having you here. Always something learned. And with that, it's about quarter of. And I know I did a call out a little while ago, but I'll do one just for the sake of argument. Any further people that would like to check into the tips net, please call now.
This is Kilo Zero, Juliet Echo Bravo. Good evening.
Net recognizes Josh, and I believe that that's Kilo Zero JEB, correct?
Yes, if you're having trouble hearing me, I can turn the power up. It's K0 JEB.
No, you're not full quieting, but I can hear you very well. It was just I thought I heard a whiskey in there, and that's what threw me off, that it was Whiskey Zero JEB. So Net recognizes Josh, K0 JEB, and so far the topics this evening have been talking about 900 megahertz devices, simplex repeaters that use an echo, called an echo, so I guess the slang term is an echo box. Let's see. Oh, golly. We're also talking about a little bit about screwdriver antennas, and Andy was just on, and he made himself a copper strap by taking a piece of copper tubing and convincing it via a 500-ton, or 50-ton press to become a metal copper strap, or copper metal strap. So we'll give you instant service. I don't know how long you've been listening, but any questions or comments this evening? K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. I was only listening for a couple minutes. I heard the tail end of the conversation on the legality of having two HTs in a weather balloon. So I missed part of that. I've had an idea here at the house of setting up some kind of low power milliwatt repeater, so that way I could use my HT here at the house and have my my big rig repeat it off the main antenna back over to Norwich. That's just more trouble than it's worth, I think. Sorry I missed all the conversation. I know this is your goodbye round. I don't really have any input on a screwdriver antenna. Haven't even looked into anything like that. I'll send it back to Net Control, and I hope everybody has a good evening. This is K0JEB.
Okay, no, that's good, and I think what you were thinking of is if you have a dual band radio that supports cross band, that would allow you to do exactly what you're saying. Use an HT to talk to the 2 meter dual band, then have that immediately transmit up to the whatever repeater you're trying to reach and back again. And that's something that they've been toying around with on the Aries trailer for some of the events that they've been holding. And at this point we'll go to the top of the list, and Kevin, it's about 10 of. We have time for more if you've got more on your mind, and if not, we'll start closing out. So what say you, Kevin K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Nothing further. I'm getting ready to go make a pot of coffee. Just curious if you're going to breakfast in the morning. If so, I'll keep you company. K6PDG.
Yep, just so happens I am, so I will swing by and get you at the appropriate time at the appropriate spot, probably behind the white van again. And next on the list would be Mark, KB1RAY. Any further comments? KB1RAY.
KB1RAY. One additional comment here. I just wanted to thank you for running the net tonight. It was a very good one, as it has been. And of course, thanks to everyone else that joined and participated. Hope to see everyone, or hear everyone, again next week. Maybe we'll have some new information on some of the topics here. With that, I'll say 73, KB1RAY. Back to net control.
Yep, thank you, Mark, and thank you very much. And I definitely find each of these interesting because you never know what's going to be the topic of conversation. I never would have guessed 900 megahertz would have been the topic for part of it this evening, or echo box repeaters. And Josh, you're at the bottom of the list here, so we'll give you one last shot again. K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, it's K0JEB. Yeah, I really don't have anything. I've been messing around with a bunch of old projects over here, and haven't really done anything significant, so... think of something to share with everybody next week, and you know, depending on what I plan on trying, maybe I can get some good input from you knowledgeable folks out there. With that, I'll say 73. Back to net control. This is K0JEB.
Well, thank you, Josh. And speaking of you and projects, reminded me about your APRS project, which I looked at the APRS.fi Google map, and I saw your house. So congratulations on that and getting it up and running. And that's good. One of my projects in the next coming weeks is to take a portable APRS HT, see if I can make a little go kit out of it, so to speak, for my trip out to Louisville, Kentucky in September. Okay, that was the last call, and I'm going to close the net at this time. Thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, Kevin, Mark, Andy, and Josh. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club itself meets the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross Center at 1031 Route 32 in Montville. The meeting starts at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. That's T-R-I-C-I-T-Y-A-R-C. There are no hyphens or spaces. It's all letters. We thank John, W1AN, for the use of this repeater. This TIPSnet will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use at 7:53 p.m. local time. This is KC1TWR saying good evening and 73.